Welcome back to Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 31 years here in the great state of Arizona. Broadcasting live at Sanderson Ford for the 64th anniversary sale. They're calling it their Hootenanny Sale. And true character of what their grand opening sale was 64 years ago. Now, we've got another guest that we've joined online because he's got another priority and commitment this morning, but we couldn't cover the Hootenanny Sale and all the personalities and voices of Sanderson Ford without bringing in the true talent of Homer's Morning Sickness, Brady Bogan.
Homie, thank you so much. This is really cool to be on your show. And I'm so excited for one reason, because I wanted to give out my advice on kind of fixing stuff if you have problems at the home. And my advice is duct tape, Mighty Putty, and Flex Seal. Fixes everything.
You are my ideal prospect for our certified partner network.
The other thing is you mentioned the Hootenanny Sale. And I appreciate you bringing me on. And it's really cool because I know you have been a partner with Sanderson Ford. And I've been a partner with Sanderson Ford as well, and the one reason that for me and Sanderson is I'm a rookie compared to you. I've been there with Sanderson Ford for about 6 years. Love the company because they're involved in the community, and secondly, when it comes to buying cars, here's where I'm tooting the horn, they're in it for the long haul. I've bought numerous cars from Sanderson Ford, and the reason being is because they don't want you just for one sale and you're gone. They want you for life. Here's the last little thing about the Hootenanny Sale. I'm partaking. I'm picking up an F-150.
What year? Is it a new one, used?
It's a new one. I'm rolling out of my Expedition. I had a 2013 Expedition. Got 94,000 miles on it. It was time. So,
well, I've been playing Sanderson's just been sitting there waiting because they know my strategy. I'm in an 08 F-150.
And oh, yeah, you're done.
I'm at 270,000 miles, and whatever comes first, a $3,000 repair ticket item or 300,000 miles on the odometer. That's my tipping point for my next F-150.
Well, you might as well pick out your car today.
It's going to be really tempting to not leave here in a brand new F-150. You got that right. Now, radio listeners, yeah, they may know you for the Brady Report. They may know you from the Ask Brady, the Brady's Entertainment Drill, Brady's Barbecue Sauce, Porkopolis. But we got to know one thing. What's the biggest home problem you're fighting right now?
I consider it a home problem, but it's my lovely wife. It's not the home problem, is always wanting to improve stuff. The remodeling, you know, once you buy the house, it's the money pit. You maybe have carpet down for a year or tile or whatever, and whatever time period it is, it's old, we need to replace it, it's out of date. Let's redo this, let's redo that. Other than that, I do have a leak going on right now in my shower in the master bathroom. And we solved that problem. We're going to just redo the master bathroom. That was her idea for the solution. So,
you know,
now
plumber,
I got to sell some more sauce and some more barbecue.
Well,
we'll make that happen.
We won't rub it in by saying a plumber could probably fix that for
$200.
Hey, and you know, I love the golden sweet on your barbecue sauce line. That's probably got to be my favorite.
The honey mustard.
That's
nice.
Good stuff.
Yeah. I have three new flavors that will be coming out in the next couple of weeks, and I got a three-pack of hot sauce. I have a prickly pear ghost, a truffle habanero, and an all-natural Louisiana hot sauce.
Okay. Well, we'll be testing the all-natural Louisiana one for sure, a little authenticity check on that.
I need your input. I will send you some product, and I want your feedback because you've always been great over the years telling me, there's a sauce I like here, and the food, and I appreciate that.
Well, thanks for everything you do. Have fun and be safe at U-Fest and your brand new F-150, although I'd probably wait till after U-Fest to pick up the new truck.
That's good advice. I'm going to take you up on that. I'm going to get it after. Yeah, indeed.
Brady Bogan from John and Brady's Holmberg's Morning Sickness. Thanks, Brady.
You got it.
We've had it all this morning, haven't we?
Yeah, we really have.
The only one, Gonzo, was out of town.
Darn.
He slipped through, but we've worked hard to get all the different personalities and voices of Sanderson Fort together for one day for their 64th anniversary sale.
Well, should we give a little home improvement? Let's finish talking about these butcher blocks. What do you think?
Get back to countertops.
Yeah. So we were talking about block countertops. We have a really nice blog on our website, or if you get our email newsletter, and it has all kinds. We've compared granite and quartz. We've talked about marble. We've talked about concrete, soapstone, stainless steel. Everything has, you know, kind of a benefit, and everything has a little bit of a down. Everything has its
pros and cons.
Its challenges, yes. So I wanted to talk about this butcher block company, though, in Phoenix.
Okay.
You can order them from anywhere. They're online. They'll send you sample. But if you wanted to order your own, you get a choice. And these countertops are manufactured in Amish country, in the Midwest, okay. In Ohio. 18 species of wood to choose from.
Wow.
Most popular being maple, of course, and then walnut. Okay. But then there's beautiful colors of all kinds. And then you got to, after you decide what color you want emphasized, then you pick the grain style. And I didn't know there were so many choices. You can either have the edge grain, where it's as if you had a 2x4 laid up on its side, right, that edge. Or plank style, where they're laid down flat, right? Can you picture that? Or the end grain, where they stand them all up, and then it almost looked like a checkerboard on top. So you can have all kinds of different looks just by choosing the grain style. So after you have your color and your grain style, then you choose your edge. And we recommend not sharp corners. Been there, done that. But they have a bevel edge, a rounded edge. There's like 6 different ones that you can choose from that also make your particular butcher block unique. And then you choose a finish. Now, you can have them with a varnish on them, but then it's not a true butcher block countertop. A lot of people, about 50% of people choose it that way.
Really?
Yeah, so you wouldn't be oiling and doing all the things that we do to maintain ours. And it's not a lot of work. It really isn't. But if you choose it natural, you will have to oil it on a regular basis, and then they have like this cream barrier you can put on, and that helps things not to soak into it as far as stains and things you might spill. So that's really good. But we don't do it all that often. They are very, very sturdy. They hold up very well.
On the interior of a home that is kept, generally speaking, around the 70 degree, you know, between 70 and 78, even in the winter time, you know, maybe 60s. That being in that temperature is a big part of the longevity. I mean, that can be the biggest part of your wood preservation.
Well, yeah, there's less
right
expansion
there.
and contraction and all. But I also found out something interesting in visiting with the people at Butcher Block Company is you want to be careful that you know, you can't go in this showroom, right, and see it, so they'll send you a sample. But you want to be careful ordering online. There are big box stores that sell butcher block, and you're going to say, oh, wow, that's a good price. But you know what? They're lighter, and they're lighter because they've got a hollow core, and they're filled with foam. So those don't last as long. They're not as heavy, and they're much harder to drill out your sink space.
And it would seem to completely defeat the purpose of having something filled with foam to where a butcher block that's a couple inches thick, you know, you sand it every decade, and the use out of it, you know, why would you get something hollowed out? That kind of seems to defeat the purpose
entirely. It would be kind of short-sighted. You know, you're trying to save money or whatever. But if you buy a good quality butcher block, it'll last you a lifetime. So that's my spiel.
And it's my favorite countertop material. Now, at Rosie Remodeling, our customer's favorite countertop material the last 5 years has been quartz.
When we visited with Cambria last week, they're an amazing product.
We haven't put a granite countertop in over 5 years.
Even the ones that ask for granite, then you show them the quartz product and the reasons for it. And I don't know anyone, when you're looking at longevity, would take quartz over granite. The people that still select granite are the ones that like to say, you know, because this was a physical slab mined out of the ground, there's not another piece of granite like this in the world. It's
That's
mine.
True.
It's all mine,
it's
here at my house.
It's artwork, you know, kind of artwork.
And there are pieces of slabs that are just that unique.
There are, and that's one benefit to granite if you want to be that unique. But then the bad thing about it is, let's say you're on a granite shop one day, and there's two people there, and they pick out the same slab. You can't. You know, it's only one person's going to get that. You go to a quartz that's manufactured, they can replicate that impression, you know, and ultimately until
pretty well.
I was going to say, until you ran out of quartz, that I don't think we could ever make that many countertops.
And if sustainability is important, you know, I know it's a lot of people, more important to some people than others. It is an important topic. But there's a great website called greenbuildingsupply.com, and they kind of help you think through. There's all kinds of things that make up sustainability, and you have to figure out what's most important to you as far as that component of things. But it kind of tells you how to go through it. And Cambria qualifies for green building.
And one of the big reasons is the greenest thing you can do is install something that's going to last forever.
Amen.
Not throwing it away makes it green, because you've got to, no matter what in the manufacturing process, it takes fossil fuels, it takes transportation, it takes a lot of energy to manufacture something. So using products that you only have to manufacture once is the biggest part of going green.
Yeah.
Which blows my mind when you see these people that try and advertise green and sustainability, and they're slapping sticks and stucco together in a house. And
so we need to have Gary find some soapbox music
using
for you.
Masonry.
That's right.
We have some for Rose. We need to find you your own soapbox music.
You know, which brings me to an interesting topic we're going to cover in a little bit. It is a horrible thing, the fire that took down the church at Notre Dame in France. And one of the most interesting things about that I was reading, they can never rebuild the roof the same way. The roof is what they call the forest. It was 1,400 individually hand-carved timbers. There aren't that many trees that size left in the world to be able to replicate what they originally built that with. And wouldn't you have just loved to have seen how they cut those trees down and harvested those trees and transported them and lifted them 100 feet in the air with no mechanical equipment, no heavy machinery. And as sad as it is for somebody in the trades, is this not just an incredible opportunity to go work on the restoration and say, I helped rebuild this. I did this work on this historic structure.
Romy, when they laid the foundations and the cornerstone for the Notre Dame Cathedral, mm-hmm. the people that were doing that knew they would never see the completion of that building. They knew when they started it, it was 300 years in building it.
Spend your whole life building something you never get to see the fruit of.
You never get to see the finished product.
And
is that incredible?
It is.
What an interesting time that we're in right now that a craftsman could go there. I mean, I'm a far cry to believe they would select me to help work on that. But, it was like, man, if this happened 20 years ago when I was single, I would absolutely go, what do I got to do just to be part of this reconstruction learn the old world tricks and the carving and the masonry skill that goes into this type of building.
I just want to know what it would feel like to walk in a forest with trees that tall.
I would just like to know, what does it feel like to be the plumber that burned it down?
Oh, I don't think I want to know that feeling.